Good evening. Welcome to Milkshake Monday, being brought to you by Four Dose Production. I am Anita Helm. Tonight we're going to talk about what if you're wrong about Jesus? Eternity in hell, no take backs. Now, before I start, I wanted to share that I happened to watch this year's Grammys, and I love music and I love to watch the singers and the entertainers. But I want you to understand that there are a lot of influences happening in the midst of those actual shows. Things that they're trying to show as accepted and all those things. And I really appreciated Lizzo and the song Special, because it's something to encourage all of us to know that we're special. And even as we talk about tonight, what if you're wrong about Jesus, is because the Lord thinks all of us are his creations, and he's taken the time to frame and make each of us. And it's not his will that any should perish, but a lot of us have in our mind some messed up thinking. And I'm hoping that tonight that you'll take the time to at least hear me out. If you're under the sound of my voice, take the time just to listen. Now, I want you also to recognize that something I noticed last night in the whole issue of the Grammys is that you can see everybody with makeup. We have makeup and hair and outfits on. But then as they start panning, as Trevor Noah was going in and out, you saw those little tables. And sometimes when the camera wasn't so evident on people, you could see what they were doing, what they were thinking. And I was seeing people with all these beautiful gowns on and makeup, and they look like they would rather be somewhere else. And they were there with whoever they didn't want to be there. I even laugh when I teach about relationships. I would bet you a dollar that Beyonce was late, and they kept saying it was traffic. But you know, somebody in that couple, somebody that was getting ready or wasn't ready on time, or somebody was dragging their feet, I know that on the way to wherever they were coming last night, that there was some heated fellowship, because somebody made the other late and they were embarrassed, and it was all a big thing because Beyonce wasn't there on time and she was making history and all that stuff. But I said, it don't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. People are people. And I think sometimes we are fooled by the trappings of the outward appearance to think that all is well, and it's not. So let's get to what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, you would think, because I teach the Bible, I am not a pastor, I'm not a minister. Some of the people that are sending me messenger notes and things on the replies, I'm not a pastor. I am a person that God has given the gift of teaching, and I love to teach his word. But believe it or not, I don't think a lot about heaven and hell. Every day I don't wake up and think heaven or hell. I think about the Lord, but I don't really get in my mind to say, okay, what are they doing in heaven and what's going on in hell? God knows what all is going on there. And I just believe that it's my time here in this earth to talk to people about, as best I can, breaking down the word of God for them to hear the truth about who Jesus Christ is and making a decision. I wanted to say that at first, because when this teaching came to me, you're not going to believe this, but I thought about the word regret. Now, when Reverend Helm died, there was part of the grief coaching and sharing and going through that actual therapy that they said, you may have the situation where you have regret. And so I really, knowing that Rev was very sick, I was trying to make sure that I loved on him as much as I can and not have a lot of regret. But when this teaching came, what if you're wrong about Jesus? Why, Anita, did you think about regret? But let me explain something to you. When it comes to regret, there are things in our lives, whether it's our relationships, decisions we've made, problems we faced, that we can look and learn from those challenges and those things that we've did. And sometimes we have regret. But there's a level of regret in our life that we're still living, that we could have the same situation appear and we can learn from what we did in the past. But when it comes to, if you're wrong about Jesus Christ, if you find yourself in hell, that's a different level. It's not regret. You can't do anything about being in hell. There are no exit signs. There's no do-overs. There's no take-backs. You're there. And you're not there for a short period of time. This discussion about, oh, purgatory, people getting prayed out of hell. There's no praying out of hell. There's no stopgap. If you're in hell, you're there for all eternity. It says that Hades, death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. So there's a degree of hell, and then there's a lake of fire. But either way, you're not getting out of any of it. So I started to think about that. Now, when it comes to heaven and hell, Jesus, religion, all these things, faith, the Bible, a lot of people have opinions and positions and opposition and all kinds of bumper stickers that say, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot. Jesus is nobody's co-pilot. or Jesus is one of the great prophets. Jesus wasn't a prophet. He's not the same as Muhammad. He's not the same as somebody else. He is the Son of the living God. Okay, we all hear about mischaracterizations, falsehoods, lies, what all the things are. But tonight, I wanted to talk about it. First, I want to say, here's what I've heard over the years when I bring up the topic or conversation. I'll say, what if you're wrong about Jesus? Okay, I'm going to give it in the attitude I've heard it before. I'll be just wrong. Oh, well, what if you're wrong, Anita, about Jesus? You ever think about that? Actually, I'm going to talk about that tonight and give you some, what if I'm wrong about Jesus? All right. Well, we'll never know, will we? Actually, we will. All of us will get to know if we're wrong or not. C'est la vie. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You're not going to want to say that. You worry too much. Why are you worried about that? Let this take care of what you got going. You don't have to worry about me. I'll be fine. Me and the man upstairs are just fine. Oh, Anita, it's all make-believe. It's not even real. It's a white man's religion just to keep us in check. That's what they did. That's what our slave masters wanted us to believe so we wouldn't be getting off the plantation. Now, here's one. This is just a great play act. You know, when we're dead, we're dead. It doesn't matter. Nobody has any afterlife. It doesn't matter. So if I'm wrong about Jesus, we're just going to the dirt. Life ends. Oh, we'll just come back as butterflies. We'll come back as a new life. We'll just have another try. All of that is ignorance. All of that is not knowing what the Word of God teaches us. And you could say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Word of God. I don't believe in Jesus. All that stuff, because guess what? God allows all of us to have free will. He doesn't force Christ on us. He gives it as a gift. You don't have to receive the gift. It's free. There's a cost, and Christ made a great cost for it. I remember that in hospice, one of my cousins that said, I was talking to him right before he died. Now, he didn't die immediately, but when he came out of one of his hospitals, I picked him up from the ER because he didn't have transportation. And I said to him, what is your position and understanding about you and your relationship with Jesus Christ? That's when he threw it out to me. Me and the man upstairs are just fine. Fast forward to when he was in hospice and the people around him were family were crying, all stuff. And then everybody left. I have never seen where somebody is dying. I mean, probably hours away from dying, and that the people that are relatives, children, siblings, all this stuff, they just left. I was there and I love my cousin, but I wasn't that close with my cousin. I was sitting there at his bedside as he's taking his last breaths on oxygen. And I was thinking about that conversation where he talked about me and the man upstairs are just fine. And I said, he's going to find out that he's banking on the wrong bet and there's nothing he can do. And the word regret is not going to come in his mind because, you know, everybody thinks who doesn't have faith in God or know his word, that there's going to be some giant party in hell, that everybody's going to just be having this loud boombox of music. They're going to be half naked orgies, having a great time. And it's just going to be a party. That is not what hell is going to be about. But I want to talk to this subject. Now, what if you're wrong about Jesus? I got to tell you something, that when I was young, before I accepted Christ, I was wrong about Jesus. I've been going to church. I was still in church, but I was wrong about something. I had in my young little mind that the Father was in charge. Jesus was the second in line. And I had in my mind that I didn't need Jesus. I was just going to deal with the Father. And all that talk about Jesus, I wasn't going to really deal with Jesus. I was going to go to the top man in charge. I was so wrong. Even when it came to communion, you know, communion, every first Sunday, you're supposed to take the body and blood of Jesus Christ. One time I thought I was so big-headed, I'm not going to take the wine because it was wine. It was burning my throat. So I said, I'm not going to take it. I got pneumonia right after, but I was like, oh, okay. I'm not doing something right in this situation. Well, I was playing church for a long time, but I still was going to church. I was still doing things. I was doing all the stuff in church, but I had a misunderstanding. It wasn't understanding. I was being rebellious when it came to the Lord. My brother got saved And it opened my eyes and it opened my heart that God started to draw me closer to him. And it wasn't until I went to one of my Bible studies from this youth group and I had it explained about the purpose of Jesus and how John 14:6 talks about that he is the way, the truth, and he was talking about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Well, that opened my eyes to the point that that night I went to sleep and the Lord spoke to me, audibly spoke to me and said, know me. And I know that was Jesus Christ. And at first, you guys, I started weeping. I was sleeping on my back. I heard the voice. It touched me so much and I started weeping. Then I started crying and then I started bawling because I knew I had to know Christ and I didn't know him. And I had been playing this thing where I was going to the Father foolishly. But when they said, I got to go to the Son, it just touched me. So I had a wrong understanding of Jesus. And some people have a wrong understanding of Jesus Christ as though they think he's optional. They think that I can live a life, you can live a life, and that you can ignore Jesus Christ, you can ignore who he is, what he means for salvation, what he means to keep us from separation from God for eternity. And it'll just be okay. It'll just work itself out. Tonight, I am slowing down to say to you under the sound of my voice, it will not work out right if you don't know Christ. If your understanding of life and death, afterlife, is that Jesus is no part of it, that Jesus is some nice guy, he's some prophet, he's some really good guy that was on this earth that we really don't need to pay attention now because we're in 2023, that is not the truth of God's word, and you're listening to the lie of the devil, which could cause you eternity in hell. Now, you're not alone if you have false understanding of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you how that's so. In the Bible, it talks about kings who were almost persuaded, Paul, but they weren't. We've heard of pharaohs whose hearts were hardened. And they found themselves drowned in the Red Sea with all their chariots. We saw in the scriptures a rich young ruler who had done so many things he thought that had earned him, he thought, praise from, he called him teacher, rabbi. But then when Christ says one thing you lack, he walked away. So here's somebody else. We had chief priests who were in leadership of the church. And when they saw Christ, their purpose was, I want to retain my position and I want to conspire to kill and murder the Son of God. Now, we also see that Pilate's wife, her dreams were of such that she said to her husband, Pilate, I've been having some messed up dreams about this man. Don't have anything to do with him. Even Pilate, when he asked Christ, are you? And Christ said, it's as you said. Pilate was getting worried, but Pilate still authorized the murder and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And those people that were in the crowd, did you think, went crucify, crucify? Do you not know that they were a part of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Even the people that we're going to see tonight who were the centurions that used lots to take his clothing off of him. Even though it was prophetically spoken of it, can you imagine how they felt when they realized that they were wrong about Jesus and that they were part of crucifying him, spearing him, taunting him, beating him? They got to see that they were wrong about Jesus. But now here in the 21st century, there are a lot of people, whether you're watching Facebook or YouTube or Instagram or Twitter or LinkedIn or wherever you're watching, you could be wrong about Jesus because you're so apathetic. You don't think that faith has anything to do with you. You can spend eternity, which has no clock on the wall, has no exits on the wall. There's no signs, there's no doorknobs. You're there and you're there to stay. Now let's go to the scripture because I want you to see about the great white throne judgment, which is for people who are going to hell. You don't want to be at the great white throne judgment. But if you are wrong about Jesus Christ, that's where you're going to end up. So I want you to hear these words, because if you think that you're going to get a pass, that somehow grandma's prayers over you, or somehow because you were 13 and you went to church and now you're 75 and you haven't been since, or you got your first communion and you think you're all good and you don't really need to go to wherever you're going to hear the scriptures, don't be found in the lake of fire, and you have no way. There are no takebacks in hell. There are no do-overs in hell. When you're in hell, you will have your memories, and the memory of hearing the word of God and people trying to beg you to give your life to Christ, beg you to repent, beg you to come and hear the truth, beg you to listen, beg you to turn your life around. All of those memories will come to you like swords, because that's not going to be regrets. Regrets are things you can change. You're not going to be able to do anything but gnash your teeth. That's why they say there'll be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, because all the opportunities in your lifetime, you thought you knew better and you didn't take Jesus seriously. And this is going to be, what if you're wrong about Jesus? Revelations chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Do you think last night's Grammys, there's some recordings that are going on? We're joking about things being unholy, but things unholy are not a laughing matter. Great or small, these dead are going to be judged. It says, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Not what grandma had prayed for you to do, but what you did. What I did is what they're talking about. And I don't want to be the great white throne judgment, because I want to be in the book of life. I don't want to be here. So it says here what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found within the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So if you get it wrong about Jesus, it says, what if you're wrong about Jesus? If you get it wrong about Jesus, who says he is the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father except through him, you will be not listed, not found in the book of life, and you will be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. Matthew 13:42 says about weeping and gnashing of the teeth. And a lot of people don't really get what that means. But you know when you're upset about something and they say you just grit your teeth. But imagine you are gritting your teeth and gnashing your teeth and weeping because you made the decision not to take Jesus Christ seriously, not to accept him, not to listen in your lifetime, not to try to understand, not to have wisdom, not to study the word of God. You listen to the devil, and the devil and all the host of all those angelic hosts that were thrown out and rebelled and are sentenced, you went with Satan and all of those cast out demons to hell. And there's not a party like you thought. It's dark. It's hot. It's endless. It will never end. Ever, ever, ever. And you're weeping a weeping that you can never have a change. It's gonna be there because you decided you were going to go all of your life and you were going to reject the Son of God. And I'm going to have a couple of three verbs that I'm going to tell you all in a minute. But it says in verse 42, and they will throw them into the fiery furnace. Remember that furnace, the lake of fire? Where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Let's talk about this. I want to talk, I've said it multiple times when it comes to time. If y'all haven't noticed that the time is going faster, the Word of God teaches about time going faster and more information and a lot of things happening, but you don't know about it because you don't care about Jesus and you don't care that he's put things in the Word of God to tell us what's going to unfold. And the time is speeding up. We're already in February and we just celebrated the new year. And before we blink, well, those of us, Lord willing, that will see it may see December before we blink because the time is going faster. Now, in eternity, there's no end. So if you see infinity, 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 there's no end. Torture is happening. Why do you say torture? Have you all ever been hot? They use the expression as hot as hell. It's not hot as hell anywhere. Even near the equator where it's really hot, even when you're in Arizona and the temperature is over the hundreds or you go wherever and it's hot and humidity is this and this, that, and the other, and there's no water, you're going to be tortured in hell. It's not going to be a party. It's not going to be comfortable. And all because you rejected the Son of God that God gave so you wouldn't have to go there, will you find yourself there. Memories and the thing about memories, if you saw the scripture that rich man asked, he saw Lazarus in the Abraham's bosom. He remembered Lazarus because Lazarus was the poor man that sat outside his court and he had boils and sickness to the point dogs were licking on him. So that man had memories. And then he had remembrance that he had brothers and he remembered his brothers and how they were. So you're going to have memories. And you're going to have these thoughts of, oh, I don't want people that I love to come here. But guess what? If your family members that you've never told, your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, that you never told about the importance of Jesus, like your granny told you, your forefathers told you the importance of God and the goodness of God, but you decided that they don't need to know that. I'll let them figure that out on their own. And if you find yourself in hell, you also have the memories to know that you are allowing your own children that you didn't think it was important enough to tell them about Christ. So not only have you sinned your own self, you may have led a path that your own loved ones may find themselves there. And guess what? Y'all ain't going to have a room like the Hilton where all y'all going to be in one space. Y'all are going to be feeling tortured together. And guess what? They're going to understand that mom and daddy and whoever, y'all never told us. Do you think they're going to have some anger? Because they're there for their own choices, but you contributed by the fact that you never told them about Christ. You never demonstrated the love of God. They still have to make their own decisions because it's their book that's going to be open. But you chose not to tell them about the things of God. Let's look at these three verbs that I want you to keep in mind when it comes to the Lord. The first verb that I want you to hear is pleasing God, to please God. Now, here's what the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says. And without faith, the faith in Jesus, because if you are wrong, you have no faith in Jesus. You have no trust, understanding. So without faith, it is impossible to please God, the God who is the author and finisher of our faith, the God who has in his hand the book of life. But without faith, and guess what? Faith in his Son. It is impossible to please God because remember Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. And if you don't have faith in the Son, why would you think you're coming to the Father? And why would he be pleased with you? Because you didn't have faith in the very gift, the free gift of him giving his Son to you. He didn't charge you or I for his Son. He gave Jesus Christ. Jesus volunteered to come. But because you're so smart in this life, you have a wrong understanding of the importance and the magnitude of Jesus Christ. The Lord is not going to be pleased with you because you're not going to have faith. And it says without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who approaches him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, guess what? Are you seeking the Father without the Son? You can't seek to have to even approach the Father without the Son. He's made that clear. Only way you can get to the Father is through him, because he sent Jesus Christ for you to have access to him, because he's a holy God. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even when we popped out of mama's womb, got a C-section, how we got here? We're sinful creatures. We can't have access to the Holy Father because we're unholy. We are sinners. And it's only through grace and faith in Jesus Christ and him knowing us and we knowing him that we can even have access to the Father, to approach him, to seek him, because you can't have any access in our state of sinfulness. But you can't please God without the faith in Jesus. First verb is pleasing God. The second verb that I want you to see is anger. In the whole Psalms 2, you have to read the whole Psalms 2. I can't read it all. But this part about kissing, really the verb is kissing. That you have to kiss the Son. When you kiss somebody in normal relationships, you kiss them out of love. You kiss them out of affection. You kiss them out of a kinship, a relationship. But when you refuse to kiss the Son, the anger of God is kindled against you because he's given his best. They said he's given his only begotten Son, and he gave his Son. His Son volunteered to come through 42 generations because of the love God had for mankind, that he didn't want mankind to find themselves in the lake of fire with Satan and the host of angels that rebelled against him. That was for demonic activity, to stay tortured because of the penalty of the rebellion against God. But mankind had a choice, has a choice. But as you read in Psalm 2, why do the nations rage? Why are these rulers? Why are these puffed up people who are great in their own mind? The pharaohs, the kings, the chief priests, the people who are puffed up, think that they're so wise in their own understanding. But the word of God says in chapter 2 of Psalm, it's not a chapter, but book 2 of Psalm, verse 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, the Father, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, which his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. That faith that we talked about pleases God, but us putting our trust in his Son, us not going to a perishable way, because you know, God says he's the way, but for these other ways that people are trying, those ways, if you think they're going to get you anywhere but hell, you're going to find out in hell, in the lake of fire. But those ways were just always destined in the wide gate to go to hell. And he doesn't want you to perish. But guess what? There are a lot of people that will refuse to kiss the Son. There are a lot of people in centuries and millennials that have refused the Son, and they're already in hell, and the second death will take them through the lake of fire. Let's go to this third verb, depart. I say this scripture a lot, and I say it almost every week, but Matthew 7:23 is when Christ says many will come to him. But then he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, you workers of iniquity. You don't want to know that you cannot please God if you don't have faith and you don't have a right understanding of who Jesus Christ is. You can't please God because you have no faith in his Son. You cannot refuse to kiss the Son and embrace the Son and receive the Son. Else God is going to get angry, and that anger is going to find yourself in hell. You don't want Christ to say, even those of you who may be playing church, I've ticked my box. I got baptized 45 years ago and never gone to church since. I got my first communion and I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't know anything about the word of God. I'm just fine. I have this knowledge of the man upstairs, and me and the man upstairs are just fine. And you're living like hell. You don't want Christ to say, I never knew you. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to be in hell hearing that. You can't do anything about it in hell, but you can do something about it now. Now, this question that I'm posing these questions back that some of these people throw back at me. And sometimes I see it on the internet. Anita, what if you're wrong about Jesus? What if you're wrong? You, the Christian. I'm not no super Christian. I'm just a Christian. I'm just a person saved by grace. What if I'm wrong about Jesus? I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you what if I'm wrong about Jesus. That he's not the Son of God, that the Bible's not true, all this stuff that you want to throw back at me. What if I am wrong about Jesus? I can tell you that in this lifetime, I have been loved. I have found that his sacrifice has moved me. In this lifetime, I've had hope. I have seen the truth of his word. I have felt his forgiveness. I have felt his grace. I have felt mercy. I have felt long suffering by the Lord. I have felt kindness and compassion. I have received understanding and have a purpose. I have meaning in my life. I have direction. I have had discipline in my life. I have had an example of his son. I have had such comfort and peace and joy. I have liberty. I have lived with the wonders of knowing the fruit of his spirit in my life. I have understood the sovereignty of God, the omniscience of his knowingness. I have known that he's magnificent. I have seen the majesty of God on high. I have had health. And when I've been sick, I've cried out to him and he's healed my body. I have had wholeness. I have had an assurance in times where I should have been broken that he healed me. I have had such a sweet friendship from him. I have had a fatherhood when I have been a child with a biological father that died when I was 10. I have had his guidance. I have had a dedication that he's always known me, that when I cry, he takes those tears and he puts them in vials and he's analyzed them. I've had angels that have protected me, that protect me now, that have protected me in the past. I've had accidents that should have killed me, but God said, no, she is not ready to go. I've had his faithfulness. I have had a life that I have treasured because of him, not because of a husband, not because of children, but because of him being in my life. I've had the wisdom. I've had salvation. I have been able to close my eyes and that he's protected and told death to behave itself. And I've woken up in the morning. I've woken up and when I could have been sad, he has made me praise him and give him thanks. I have had times where I've just been so overwhelmed with his peace and his love and his assurance and his mercy and his kindness and all those verbs I can think of. And if that I am wrong about Christ, I have lived a life. I have seen my husband take his last breath of this natural life with such a peace that he knew and he knows Christ. And I have assurance in my heart. And you say, what if I'm wrong about Jesus? Then I've had a life. I have had a life that I can say, God, I am so thankful for the life of being with Jesus Christ. Who you who say, I am wrong. I am on a false path. I cannot tell you what assurance I have. And I have had many things in my life, from bankruptcy to death to health and all kinds of things happen in my life. And he's been right there with me. He's been right there with me. And I have a testimony to say he's real. He's real. His word is true. Matthew 27:54. When the centurion saw that Christ died and all the stuff started happening, it says that we're in that verse 54, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified. They were alive to recognize they were terrified. So there are going to be some people that close their eyes and be in the lake of fire and hell, and they're going to be terrified. Ain't nothing they can do about it. But these people had recognized that they were wrong about Jesus and they were terrified. And exclaim, because when you realize you are so wrong about something like the Son of God, you have just conspired and being a participant of murdering the Son of God, crucifying the Son of God. And some of you that are cussing and using his name in vain and saying, I don't care about Jesus. Who gives a flip about Jesus? I don't care. I don't need him. All those people that didn't care about Jesus when they were taking their last breath, I guarantee you they were thinking, what if I'm wrong about Jesus? It's too late. You know, people say, oh, I'm going to take my last seconds and I'm going to do my thief on the cross. But remember, the thief on the cross was talking to Jesus. People can talk to Jesus, but if you ain't sincere and all you're trying to get is a health insurance policy, you don't know Christ. He doesn't know you. You're just trying to do something because you're trying to now do your last-ditch efforts to kind of do a, you know, cover up. You're trying to kind of slide into heaven. It don't work like that. That thief on the cross was sincere, and he was chastising the one that was on the cross saying, you need to shut up because we deserve this. He don't deserve this. He recognized that Jesus was without sin. He recognized who Jesus was, and he asked Jesus, and Jesus committed and said, this day you will be in paradise. You doing your last ditch breath thinking that's going to work? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, I can't read all this because of time, but Mark chapter 15, verse 39, again, is another passage just the same way of the last one, but it's just saying the same thing. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. He saw how he died. Because Jesus, if you saw, he said, it is finished. He had the words that you always see at Easter, the last sayings of Christ. But he says he yielded up his spirit. He chose, it's time. He yielded up his spirit. That centurion looked up and saw how he died. And he said, this man was the Son of God. Now, go to Luke 23. We can't read all of this. And I want you to read Luke 23, all of it. I was going to read 1 through 21, but I'm going to jump to verses 44 through 49. Because on the death, there was this whole thing about Pilate and going back and forth with Jesus, and you got to read it on your own. But I want to go to the whole part about, let's start at verse 20. I'm going to say the last 20, then jump to 44. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again because he knew this man did not deserve death. He knew Jesus didn't deserve death, but he had to go to the cross because of us. But they, the people that were saying Hosanna, Hosanna before, had been stirred up by the chief priests and the people. Now they were shouting, crucify him, because they didn't know. And they got it wrong of who Jesus was. And some of you, you're not saying crucify Jesus. You said, I don't give a damn about Jesus. And those words about damn, you are going to be damned because you are getting it wrong about Jesus. The word of God in verse 44 of Luke 23 says, it was now about noon and darkness came over the whole land. Imagine being in hell in the lake of fire. Everything is dark. This showed you that darkness came over the whole land, but imagine hell, the lake of fire, that darkness. There is no light. There is no turning on a light bulb. There is only you hearing about the moaning and the weeping and the gnashing of the teeth and the sorrow and all of that regret that cannot be done. There's nothing you can do about it. And you don't think it's going to be funky down there? Fire, sweat. Oh, gross. Darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining. The creations that Christ did in John 1:1, everything he created was changing because the Son of the Most High God had just yielded up his spirit. For the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. The access that he's given us now. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a second intermediary. He's saying, come to him. Come with the salvation to him. You go pray to the Father in Jesus' name. You don't need a secondary person for your prayer life. That temple's veil was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father. That's why that centurion saw how he died. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Then he died. He committed his spirit to the Father because that's where he was going. Ultimately, after he came back from the resurrection, he was caught up in Acts 1. He was going back to the Father because he's going to be there on the right hand of the Father. And for those of us who have access because we have repented of our sins, we've asked God to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness, and we've asked the Father to see us, not because of us, but through the Son. The one way that we can get to the Father is through the Son. But if you have the wrong, if you're wrong about Jesus, are you willing to have eternity in hell. There are no takebacks. There are no do-overs. There's no exit signs. It says here, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Then the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God. He got to have a chance to change what he thought he understood about the man on the cross. He praised God. This is your night, your moment to repent and praise God for what he's done. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you don't know Jesus for yourself, he's coming to seek and save you because you have a wrong understanding, and he doesn't want you to go to the lake of fire with the demonic angelic force that was being cast down and now are demons. But this centurion praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. He realized that this was the Son of God. Now look at this last couple of verses. When all the people who had gathered to witness, they gathered to the crucify club, came to witness Jesus getting killed, murdered, because that's what they wanted. They wanted Barabbas, who was a murderer, to be set free. And they wanted Jesus, the righteous man, the Son of God, to be murdered. But they gathered around to watch. And that's what the wide gate does. They watch you get into drugs and alcohol. They watch you deter your life to go to hell. And they all say, oh, we're going to kick it together when we get to hell. That ain't going to happen. But this crowd, when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. They beat their breasts because they knew, whoa, woe is me. Whoa, what did I just do? What did I just participate in? You just said, crucify, crucify him, and that was the Son of God. You don't want to take your last breath and realize that all of that foolish living you did, none of those fake friends are around you. None of those people that said they knew about God, that you were dealing with the white man's religion, that you were doing it, they ain't nowhere to be found because they already did. And if they didn't come to Christ, they in hell. And they ain't going to want to be talking to you in hell. You're going to probably want to beat the hell out of them when they get there, when you get there. But you don't want to go to hell. And these people were beating their breasts because what had they done? What had they believed? How were they so wrong about Jesus? How had they been so manipulated? And that's what's going on. Satan is manipulating people to believe a lie because you don't want to learn the word of God. You want to be ignorant. And that ignorance will cause you to be in hell. Now, everybody always knows about John 3:16. I'm going to read it. My last version is going to be to read this. John 3:16, but I want to start at verse 12. Is Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus? If I had told you earthly things, it's Jesus, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he, that's Jesus, who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you don't believe in Jesus, you will perish and you will go to hell. You will not be found in the book of life. You will go to hell. This is not a game. I don't care about the stupidity on Facebook and all this internet crap. You are going to go to hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. And the people that are giving you that BS, they're not going to be there other than to be in hell with you in torture. Verse 16 says, For God so loved. The people that you're dealing with, they don't love you. They don't love you. Satan does not love you. He wants you to be there so he can laugh at God and say, look, all the people I brought with me, the people that you wanted to save because of Christ, he's not loving you. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Believe, Lord, please. I hope the word of God is being proclaimed, that the people will hear. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And verse 22, I end this. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized, because his purpose was to seek and to save that which is lost. He wanted people to know who he was. And it's my prayer that you don't get it wrong about who Jesus is. Because what if you're wrong about Jesus? It's eternity in hell. If you're wrong about what you're really putting your whole eternity on a bet that everybody who loves Christ is wrong, and the word of God, that's the revealed word of God, the inspired word of God through the Holy Spirit, is wrong. And you're betting your eternity on this. And I'm telling you, for the depths of my heart, get to know Jesus Christ for yourself. Prove him. He says it. Prove him. His word will not return void. He says, prove him. If you want to prove, go to your knees. Go to your knees and ask God. If you're real, God, come into my heart. I repent. Give him a chance. Don't listen to all these false things. Please. It's your eternity. It's your eternity. And God doesn't want you there. Lord knows I don't want you there. And there's some family members of mine. There's some friends of mine. There's some people I don't even know. I don't want you to go to hell. And the stupidity of ignorance that you are spewing on the internet and what you're doing in your life is going to cause you to go to hell. And it's my prayer that you will get to know Jesus Christ. Because you don't want to get there. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. And I don't want you to go to hell. And God doesn't want you to go to hell. That's why he gave you Jesus. So the harvest is ripe and plenteous, saints, but the laborers are few. Let's pray to the Lord of the harvest to have more people to go into this vineyard and speak the word of God and tell them about the love of Jesus. I love you. And Lord willing, I will see you next week. You are loved. You are loved. God bless you.
God bless.